Jets have a timeout left if they want it. Folk on the way. And it is good. With zeros on the clock, Nick Folk, the field goal from 51 yards away. And that's how the Jets fall to 0-9.
Jets look like they actually tried to win last night compared to the game down at Arrowhead a few weeks ago. Jets lose, though, on a last-second field goal by the Patriots. Final score 30-27. Patriots now 3-5. Jets 0-9 on a actually pretty good ball game between two not-so-good teams on Monday Night Football. Cam Newton entered Monday night 1-38 when trailing by double digits in the fourth quarter. His only win coming in 2018 against the Eagles, but he and the Pats overcame a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit to avoid their first five-game losing streak since 1995. The Jets now 0-9 for the first time in franchise history. So, football in the books for this week. We'll talk a lot more football with Seren Petro of WHB 810 at Kansas City tomorrow. And we'll talk more Chiefs coming up in a little bit. Plus, Kellis Robinette, the K-State beat writer for the Wichita Eagle and the K-State Kansas City Star, will join us coming up at the bottom there. I talk K-State football. That's all to come here on The Ticket. But first, we'll hand it over to Dusty for local sports information.
Yeah, high school football is what we got left here in local sports. And high school games coming up on Friday night in the area. Again, we have Beloit and Haven on Katy Country 94. KatyCountry94.com and online video stream at NCKSSports.com. The pregame coverage will begin at 6:30 and kick off at 7 o'clock from Haven on Friday night in the Class 2A quarterfinals in the football playoffs. Also, Smith Center still alive in the 1A quarterfinals. They have a rematch with Oakley coming up on Friday night at 7 o'clock in Smith Center. And Southeast of Saline from the NCAA is at Wichita Collegiate on Friday night. All the full brackets for state playoff football can be found at NCKSSports.com. If you're wondering who's still alive, where they're at, and what time the games are, again, NCKSSports.com, your home for all the latest in local sports in North Central Kansas.
All right, top 25 college basketball poll has been released. Number one is Gonzaga. Number two is Baylor. Three is Villanova. Four, Virginia. Five is Iowa. And KU is number six. Wisconsin, seven. Illinois, eight. Duke, nine. And Kentucky, 10. Creighton all the way up at 11. Texas Tech is 14 if you're looking at Big 12 institutions. Texas is 19. Texas, always overrated in everything. So that's it for the Big 12. Any other Big 12 teams getting any votes? Doesn't look like it. So you got Texas, Texas Tech, and Kansas. That's
West Virginia's in there, too, right behind Texas Tech, weren't
they? There you go, yeah, 15, West Virginia. So four Big 12 teams in the top 25, four of the 10. KU will start their season, we hope, November 25th in Fort Myers against number one Gonzaga. Of course, KU was number one going into the season last year and was number one going in NCAA tournament and then didn't get to play. So that's the top 25, and KU fans everywhere are going, finally, we can start talking basketball, but I don't know how much we're going to play or how it's going to work out or how it's going to look. But that is the top 25 college basketball poll to begin the season. The Masters will take place this weekend, or actually starts on Thursday, goes through the weekend. Tiger Woods, of course, maybe this will be his last title defense because he won it last year. It seems like a long time ago. It was a year and a half ago where he won it. There'll be no fans. That'll make it a little bit eerie and odd. Sergio Garcia withdrawing due to COVID-19. So we will continue to follow the Masters once it gets going coming up in Augusta, Georgia on Thursday. COVID-19 messing up the SEC schedule this Saturday. Saturday's game between number 24 Auburn and Mississippi State in Starkville, Mississippi, has been postponed due to positive COVID-19 test and contact tracing within the Mississippi State football program. The game will be made up on December 12th, 1 week before the SEC championship game. You see, Big Ten, that's how it works. You have a schedule to where you have a little bit of leeway. LSU, they're dealing with COVID and contact tracing. Very fluid situation, according to LSU head coach Ed Orgeron. We do have some players who have COVID and have some players in quarantine. He did not release the specific number of players and staff members impacted by the coronavirus. He did, however, say that some of the players affected are starters. He said it started last week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Was told of some guys who had COVID, and numbers are high because of the quarantine, and that's when you get into the low scholarship numbers, and it's not a good time to have to deal with that when you play number one Alabama, LSU defending national champion. They are 2-3 this year, so Alabama, LSU is in jeopardy for this weekend. Also, Arkansas head football coach Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID-19. The school announced that yesterday. And basketball head coach of Michigan State, Tom Izzo, revealed yesterday that he's tested positive for COVID-19. He announced his diagnosis through the team's social media channel, in which he said he was dealing with only minor symptoms and he remains in good health. So that is the latest with COVID-19 impacting college football And in the last point, college basketball with Tom Izzo. If you like to bet money, there's a better that turned a $4,000 seven-leg football parlay into more than $440,000, but he needed the Steelers to come back and win, so he was sweating
with no
it for a
fees
while.
Or minimums.
But the Steelers did come back and win, and this guy turned $4,000 into $442,643. He hit, if you're wondering what his parlay was, he had Liberty, Appalachian State, Oklahoma to cover the, that was given, wasn't it? Covering 38 against KU. Iowa State, which he they had to come back and win. Ohio State, the Steelers, and Maryland. $4,000 ticket turned it into $442,000. Of course, you have to take taxes out of that as well, but I guess it paid in that case to bet.
Get it all taken care of on Saturday, and then you're sweating until the end on Sunday.
That's a lot of money to bet on a parlay, by the way. Yeah. But that means that guy had plenty of money and could afford to lose it. The White Sox, aware of Tony La Russa's DUI before they hired him, reports came out yesterday that he had DUI in Phoenix about 8 months before the White Sox hired him, and they hired him anyway. And I don't know how that's going to work. He's old school, and the White Sox like to flaunt Tammy Anderson, Jose Abreu, and others. I don't know. I just don't know if that's going to mix very well. But I hope it implodes because that'd be good for the Royals in the American League Central. Okay, the NBA has agreed. Everything is taken care of, apparently, including free agent salary cap details. They have reached an agreement between the Players Union and NBA to allow the start of the 2020-21 NBA season, which is supposed to start on December 22nd. So that is ready to go. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the playoff race in the National Football League, and we're going to focus primarily on the AFC, where the NFC is really a mess. The AFC is a little bit more clear-cut to an extent. And right now, the standings in the AFC, Pittsburgh undefeated at 8-0. The Chiefs are 8-1. The Bills 7-2. The Ravens 6-2. And the Titans 6-2. And that's where I'm going to stop. I am not going to worry about the Miami Dolphins. I'm not going to worry about the Indianapolis Colts, the Cleveland Browns, or the Las Vegas Raiders, because they're all 5-3. And I don't have time to go through half of the AFC schedule.
Yeah.
Because you are not a threat to be the number one seed with three losses. Telling you right now, you have zero chance of being the number one seed if you're 5-3 right now. I'll tell you why. That's why we do this on this show. So once again, Colts, Dolphins, Browns, Raiders, thanks for playing. You could very well be in the playoffs. Could make some noise. Could pull off an upset. You're not going to be the number one seed. Unless you're, sipping on too much eggnog, taking a smoke, whatever it might be. You know why? Have you looked at the Chiefs' schedule and the Steelers' schedule? Those are the two teams at the top. The schedules aren't super, super, super hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Steelers' schedule. We'll go through this here. The Steelers, this is what they have the rest of the way. Yes, I know, they barely beat the Cowboys. Really good teams find a way to win against bad teams when they bring their C game. Chiefs against the Panthers. Steelers against the Cowboys. Happens all the time. Sign of a great champion is a team that can win when they don't play very well. Steelers did that. The Chiefs did it this weekend. Win is a win. So I don't count anything against anybody for winning by five or coming back for a 10-point deficit. You won. You won. And last time I checked, that's the only stat that truly, really should matter. Wins and losses. As Eric Bieniemy says, it's the alphabets of W's and L's, or shall we say letters for the layperson out there. So Pittsburgh's schedule the rest of the way, they're 8-0. They got the Bengals at home. I think you would say they'd win, but the Bengals are playing much better, and they have an outstanding quarterback. I think, I thought about this the other day. I saw this discussion, and it's a bit of a debate. If you had to start NFL team right now, and Mahomes is not a choice, okay, he's off the board, but who would be your next quarterback to build your team around?
Oh, man.
I would say Joe Burrow would be right up there for
he
me.
He would?
And also, some people said Deshaun Watson, if he gets some people around him, got like an offensive line for once, and not trade away your best weapon in Hopkins. If Watson had Mahomes' weapons, he would obviously be a lot better, I think. Yeah, those are the two that come to my mind.
Yeah, right now, like
sorry, I'm not going to go off and say Tua. He's only started, one, two games?
Yeah.
Not too worried about him yet.
I'd say Deshaun Watson right now. See, if he had the right things around him.
Right. I think I'd go Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy in his first year, I mean, he's just when I watched him at LSU this last year, I was just like, this dude's going to translate to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, because he was running NFL offense at LSU. And it's just like no big problem at all. He's ready day one to start for the Bengals. That's why they didn't even need to worry about Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
They knew what they had. It was a no-brainer to take him. I think Cincinnati game is a bit scary for the Steelers, but since they had the wake-up call against the Cowboys, I'm going to say that the Steelers win that game. Are you going to pick the Steelers to win that game?
I am, yeah.
Okay, Steelers are 8-0, so that'd be 9-0. At Jacksonville, you would say a win. Jacksonville's struggling. That's 10-0. And then Baltimore at home, I say they lose that. They should have lost the first time against Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they lose that. So that's 10-1. So Todd's happy. Dolphins can pop the champagne. Yay. 1972. We might want to, it's, what was that? 1,000 years ago? So nobody's going undefeated. Nobody said anybody's going to go undefeated. If you thought anybody's going to go undefeated this year, you're just fooling yourself. So the Steelers would be 10-1. Then they would be home to the Washington football team.
Probably win there, yeah.
11-1. At Buffalo, I'm calling loss.
Yeah.
11-2. And that's a primetime game. At Cincinnati, I don't think that's a gimme, but I'll say a win, 12-2. The Colts at home, I'll say 13-2. If you disagree, jump in.
Yeah.
And at Cleveland, I'll say they win that. They're 14-2. So see where I say three lost teams need not apply?
Yeah.
Because the Steelers, I've got it 14-2. 14-2, and I'm going to tell you why that might not be good enough for the number one seed. Usually 14-2 is going to lock it as a number one seed. I do believe the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to trip up somewhere else as well.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go 13-3, but based on what we just went through game by game, you would have to think they're two tough games. Baltimore at home and at Buffalo that's all they have left on their schedule. Cincinnati being the wild card.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the Pittsburgh schedule. If you look at the Baltimore Ravens schedule, the Ravens are 6-2. They've got New England on the road, but I think they'll win that. Be 7-2. Tennessee at home, I think they'll win that. 8-2. At Pittsburgh, I've got them winning that. 9-2. And if they win the next three games, then all of a sudden they're going to sit there and go, they're the biggest contender to the Chiefs again. Dallas at home, win. Cleveland, win. Jacksonville, win. Giants, and at Cincinnati. They got a PUD schedule after they get by the Tennessee-Pittsburgh games. Dallas, Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's decent, I guess, but Baltimore has their number. Jacksonville and the Giants and then the Bengals. So I'm going to say that Baltimore, I might trip up somewhere there, but I'm seeing 13-3, 14-2 there.
Yeah.
Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills schedule. The Bills are 7-2. They lead the AFC East. Arizona, I'm going to say they lose that game at Arizona. They have a bye week. Then the Chargers at home. We know the Chargers find ways to lose. At San Francisco, they're all banged up.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, we've got them as a win. At Denver, I would say a win. At New England, I would say as a win. In Miami, that could be a toss-up game. That is at home in Buffalo. So we could be looking at the Bills with only three losses at the end of this year. You see this trend I've developed here? Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo schedules are very favorable for them to go 13-3, 14-2, or 12-4 at worst.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis at home. That's a toss-up game for me. I don't know. I'll say a win.
Yeah.
At Baltimore, I'm going to say a loss. So now they're at 7-3. At Indy, I'll say they'll lose that one, 7-4. Cleveland home, 8-4. Jacksonville road, 9-4. Detroit, 10-4 at home. At Green Bay, I'll say loss, 10-5. At Houston, 11-5. So Titans are out. They're going to be a division winner or a wild card, but they won't be a top two seed.
Yeah,
you with me on that
division
one?
Division winner, yeah.
So I would say you can take the Titans out of this equation. And then you go to the Chiefs. Here's what the Chiefs have on their schedule. They've got, and yes, people will say this is a tough schedule. And you know what? It does look a little bit tougher now than it did a few weeks ago. You've got the bye. Then you got at the Raiders. I don't see the Raiders beating the Chiefs twice.
No.
Unless there's a whole bunch of COVID. And by the way, we're doing all these predictions based off of
everybody's playing. Yeah.
Right, okay? Obviously, a Big Ben or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, then it changes everything.
Yeah.
At the Raiders, I've got W.
Yes.
At Tampa Bay, I've got W. I don't think Tom Brady can outscore Patrick Mahomes.
No, I don't either.
Denver at home, I've got that as a win. We own the Broncos. Uh-huh. I said it. We won 10 in a row against you. But somebody told me that we're a thorn in your side. No, you're not anymore. That was way back. Today's 2020.
Yeah.
You should know that by now. It's a really bad year, especially for Bronco fans. Because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. You get it. at the Dolphins. That will not be easy. Dolphins are playing good football. I do think the Chiefs, with some of their defenses putting pressure, they're not going to let Tua sit back there. Did you see his – he's completed 93% of his passes when he faced a four-man pass rush. Bring pressure.
Yeah.
Because Tua likes to hold the ball.
Yeah.
Bring pressure, make him throw it early.
Let him get comfortable.
So I think the Chiefs will still win that game at Miami.
Oh, I do too.
So that's – the Chiefs would then be 12-1. Is that right? Yeah, 12-1. At the Saints, you know, I still think they very well could win that game. There's not a game they can't win, of course. But let's just say for giggles they lose that one, all right? So they're 12-2. And then Falcons at home. You know, Falcons are a talented team and coming off an emotional game against the Saints. But if you lose the Saints, they ain't losing two in a row. So I'm going to say 13-2. And then the Chargers at home, I think that'll be hard, although the Chargers might pack it in by then.
Yeah.
And I would say the Chiefs win that game. That's 14-2. The Chiefs just went through the toughest part of their schedule, the first eight games at 7-1. The back half of the schedule, not as difficult per se, although, as I said, it looks a little bit more difficult with the Saints now looking to be a little better than they have been the last couple weeks. The Dolphins are improving. So the Chiefs are 14-2. That's what I come up with. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the Chiefs are 14-2. We established that Pittsburgh would be 14-2. So how do we determine the tie in this one? Well, this is pretty simple. The Chiefs and Steelers did not play head-to-head.
Yes.
You go to the conference tiebreaker, and that is losses versus your own conference. And the Chiefs would have just the Raiders' loss if we're saying, listen, it's pretty simple. This is what I'm trying to tell you. As long as Steelers lose two games, which I think they will.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going 15-1. I don't think they're that good. So, but I'm assuming that they lose at least two games, and I'm assuming they're going to lose. Well, all they have left on their schedule are AFC games except Washington, which I don't think they're going to lose that at home.
No.
So what I'm saying is their two losses or three losses, but let's say they get two and they're tied with the Chiefs at 14-2. Their two losses are going to be against AFC teams.
AFC, yeah.
The Chiefs, as long as they don't lose to the Raiders again, or the Broncos, or the Dolphins, or the Chargers. So if the Chiefs would lose one more, as long as it's to the Buccaneers, the Saints, or the Falcons, the Chiefs get the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Get the better conference record with only one loss in conference. So you could have two 14-2 teams, the Steelers and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs get the one seed because of lieu of the conference tiebreaker. I think it sets up pretty well for that. Now, I think it's very possible that you could see Pittsburgh and the Chiefs and Baltimore all tie at 13-3. And if that happens, now I don't know how. I'd have to go back to the tiebreaker scenario.
Yeah, there's going to be some.
And I think what happens if there's four teams at 13-3? And that is very plausible.
Yeah.
But I look at this Chiefs team, if they stay healthy and avoid the COVID, I'd only see them losing one game the rest of the way. I know the Raiders are improved. I know they beat the Chiefs. That's why I like them beating them in Vegas on a Sunday night and 2 weeks to prepare. And Andy Reid is great with 2 weeks to prepare. His record is unbelievable. So I just don't fear the Raiders. At Tampa, I don't fear them. I do think they're a team that could beat the Chiefs. Don't get me wrong. Denver at home, don't fear them. At the Dolphins, I think that is a dangerous game because it's after a rivalry game, and then it's also right before a look ahead to the Saints. So that's an interesting game.
Yeah.
But I just think the inexperience of Tua will come back and bite the Dolphins. And I just don't think the Dolphins are quite ready to that level. And if they win that game, big deal. Doesn't mean the Dolphins are Super Bowl contenders, in my opinion. It just means they had a good day. I don't think the Dolphins are quite there yet. Anybody starting to jump to those conclusions, I think you're really, really jumping quickly.
Yeah.
And then you got the Saints, the Falcons, and the Chargers. So, to me, the Chiefs should end up 14-2. Worst case scenario, 13-3. And even 13-3 might be good enough for number one seed. Now, here's the other wild card. If there are some games that they can't make up in the NFL, then they're going to widen the playoffs to eight teams each conference instead of seven, which they've already widened to seven this year, which meant that only the number one seed gets home field. So then what you would be dealing with is the top two seeds would get by. So then it wouldn't matter so much. That's why it's so important to get the one seed, because you want the bye. It's not necessarily as much a home field advantage. It's getting that bye that's more important. And so can the Chiefs win in Pittsburgh? Heck yeah. If the Chiefs end up being the two seed and there's an 8-team field and they get a first-round bye, I'm cool with it, just like last year. I'm not even convinced Pittsburgh will get to the AFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Chiefs going to Pittsburgh, I'm not going to fear anywhere the Chiefs go. Now, I will say this. Patrick Mahomes has never won a road playoff game. You know why?
Never played
one. Never played one. Never played one. Just a neutral site in Miami last year against the 49ers. So, you like to get the bye. I think the Chiefs could still make the Super Bowl even if they're the 2 seed and they have to play out and Pittsburgh gets a bye. But I think the Chiefs are going to do what they got to do. I think Pittsburgh has some flaws and they squeaked by their last 3 games. They're living on borrowed time. They're due to lose one and it'll probably be to somebody you don't expect. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose to a team you don't expect, but nobody expected them to lose the Raiders when they did either.
Seems like, just in general, the Chiefs, when they play like the Bills, the Ravens, teams like that, that they know
this
is a prime matchup, you can be in trouble against the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I like them to win at Tampa, because I think there's going to be a lot of talk around that game with Tom Brady.
Yes.
And New Orleans is another game like that where, we're saying they lose, but it's another game there where they'll probably be pretty jacked up, ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, you can't win them all. And I think that might be the one where they slip up against, a really good team.
Who are you talking about?
New Orleans.
New Orleans?
Yeah, that'd be another game, like I said, that they'd be pumped up for.
Right.
But I feel they're probably going to slip on one of those. So
I don't know. It's kind of weird, but for some reason I could see them slipping up against Miami and beating Tampa and New Orleans.
Yeah.
I could see that. And then I wouldn't hear the end of it from Clover. And so I really, really, really just...
It went all right last time they played in Miami. I'm just holding on to that hope. It just goes the same way. Maybe you get a little earlier lead, but...
This is what I say about the favorites. It's great. You beat the Super Bowl team. You treat it as your Super Bowl, and that was your highlight of the year. The Chiefs have bigger goals than just beating somebody during the regular season. So it's run it back. That's the motto, because they are the defending Super Bowl champions. And listen, this is one thing I was thinking about. In order to beat the Chiefs, you got to score points. And think about this for a moment. Against the Carolina Panthers, and I touched upon this yesterday briefly, but I got one more point to add to it. In the Chiefs' 33-31 win over the Panthers had more total yards, more rushing yards. They had time of possession, 38 minutes to the Chiefs' 22 minutes. In 22 minutes on the field, the Chiefs' offense scored 33 points. Their defense did not force a turnover, did not set them up in great field position. They had no big returns on special teams. They missed a field goal. They missed an extra point. They missed a wide-open Tyreek Hill in the end zone, did Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs left 9 points on the field, at least, and only had the ball for 22 minutes and still scored 33 points. And that's with Carolina trying fake punts and onside kicks and keeping the ball on fourth down 3 times where they converted, including a 4th and 14. And the Chiefs won that game anyway. So the scary part is, what happens when the Chiefs actually put everything together where they can run the ball, throw the ball, and their defense plays well? Because they haven't really had a game this year where all three has worked out, except maybe Baltimore, in my opinion. That was probably their best overall game. I mean, they played well against the Bills, but they didn't have to throw the ball, and the weather was part of that too. I get it. But if you're playing against the Chiefs, this is very simple to me. Anything 4th down and 5 or less, you go for no matter where it is on the field, as long as it's not inside your own 20.
Yeah.
If it's 4th down and 5... at your own 30, you go for it against the Chiefs. Because you will not beat the Chiefs by punting it to Patrick Mahomes in the offense. You will not beat the Chiefs by settling for punting on 4th and 4. You have to go for it. Will you not get it and it might backfire? Yeah, but guess what? She's probably going to score anyway, or at least get 3 every time. So you can hog the ball all you want, but eventually you got to give the ball back. You can't settle for field goals against the Chiefs. And you can't settle for punting on 4th down and 5 or less. And if I was a coach going against Kansas City Chiefs, I would tell my team going into the game ahead of time, 4th and 5, anywhere between my own 30 and the end zone, 4th and 5 or less, we're automatically going for it, and we're not even going to hesitate. And that's what I tell my team. I'm not changing. We're going for it no matter what. Now, I guess if I'm up 21-0, maybe not. But more than likely, I'm going for it. Because what's my best defense against the Chiefs' offense? It's not my defense.
It's your offense.
It's your offense. And people get caught up in the time of possession, and that is part of what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying utilize all 4 downs. The Chiefs' defense is not good against the run. They're pretty good against the pass. And they do have the 3rd-best scoring defense in the National Football League. But if you, what would you rather face? Mahomes in the offense or go up against that Chiefs defense and have four downs and have possession of the ball and just keep it for four downs and say, listen, you can't stop us on four downs to get 10 yards. And the Raiders kind of had that mentality somewhat, went for it a few times, and I think that's what you got to do. When you go against the Chiefs, you got to play like you have nothing to lose. Unlike the Jets, who just apparently wanted to tank, when you play the Chiefs, Carolina did everything. They pulled out all the stops and still lost. With all those things in their favor, still lost. In 22 minutes of time of possession, Mahomes and the Chiefs put up 400 yards of offense and 33 points. And should have had four more if your kicker didn't miss an extra point of field goal. The Chiefs should have had 37 points in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Hold them to having the ball 12 minutes? They'll score 25 and 12.
Yeah.
I mean, time is not a big issue for the Chiefs offense. It isn't.
No, not when they're clicking. It's not, for sure.
No, not at all. So that's how you beat the Chiefs. I think that's the only way you beat the Chiefs. Because I don't think you can say, well, a great defense is going to stop this offense. Not for four quarters. We saw it last year. We've seen it this year. Nobody's going to do it for four quarters. Belichick couldn't do an AFC title game. You can't do it. You can't stop the Chiefs for four quarters offensively unless they shoot themselves in the foot with all their own penalties. It won't be your doing. It'll be their doing. So the only way to beat the Chiefs is you've got to let it all hang loose.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, you're going to lose. And that's part of the reason why the Raiders won the first time. They were aggressive. They took deep shots. They had third and two. They took deep shots knowing they were going to go for it on fourth down. That's the other reason why you go for it on fourth down and have that mentality going in, because then on third down and eight, you can say, we're not worried about getting 8 yards. We're going to get six. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It changes your play calling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So go for it. Now, as a Chiefs fan, I hope they don't. But if I were playing the Chiefs, I'd be putting all my eggs in that basket saying, listen, we are going to not punt today. We're not punting.
Yeah.
We'll turn it over on downs, but we are not punting the football. That's a signal of weakness. We are giving up if we punt. We will not punt. If they stop us on four downs to get 10 yards, by golly, power to that Chiefs defense. They beat us, but I'm not letting the Chiefs offense beat me. I'm making the Chiefs defense beat me. Will you agree with that?
100%.
I don't know why more teams don't do that.